Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
We've begun a new series called Practicing the Presence of God. Today we're going to talk about becoming God's habitation on earth. God spoke to Moses to tell the children of Israel to build a tabernacle where he could dwell among them. But I have news for you today. God wants to dwell with you. God wants to live in you and with you. And he wants his physical, tangible presence to be felt and experienced by other people in your life. Now, to become a habitation for God requires us to live a holy life. I'm going to ask Dan to cut the microphone down because I'm whispering. Somewhere in the message, I'll start to shout. To be holy means to be spiritually and morally pure, living a sinless life. Those are the only people God can dwell with. Well, nobody has that ability apart from God. There's no way we can live a holy life on our own. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, God gives you the power to live a holy life. And it's done through maintaining a lifestyle of fellowship with Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Him." Repeat after me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I possess the holiness of God through Christ. God's righteousness and holiness was transferred to us who accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's the only way you can get it. You say, well, how is that possible? The Bible tells us that because Adam sinned, then all sinned. You weren't actually in the garden when your forefather sinned, but you inherited his sin. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And when he obeyed God and died on the cross of Calvary in our place, he was righteous. He was holy. He never sinned. And the Bible says when we accept him as our Lord, when we accept that sacrifice, then we receive the righteousness, the holiness of God in him. That's why I can call each of you saints of the Most High God. I don't have to go to a council this morning to call you a saint. I can call you a saint if you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7 says, "So consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy, says the Lord." Now that you have the power to live a holy life, God says, consecrate yourself and live holy. It's a challenge. Saints, we all live in this world. It is a very polluted place. How many of you would agree? This is not heaven. Thank God it's not hell. But it's a very polluted place spiritually. And there are temptations and all kinds of things flying around in our world today. But we must refuse to walk according to our carnal desires. When you became born again, your spirit got saved. Your mind needs to be renewed and your body needs to die. What do you mean by that? I mean your born-again spirit became alive unto God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that your mind must be renewed by the word of God. Change your thinking. Change your behavior by your thinking. And then it says you must put your body to death. Your body should be a living sacrifice to God. What does that mean? That means you climb up on the altar of sacrifice and let God kill your flesh. Now, I assure you that any living sacrifice during Moses' time, if it got up on that fire, it wasn't staying very long. That's why they killed the sacrifices before they put them on the fire. We have more of a challenge in our lives today. We're living sacrifices that have to climb up on the fire. And God wants you to stay on the altar. There's so little prayer going around in the body of Christ. That's why there are so many disasters spiritually. You can almost turn to the newspaper or listen to the news any week and hear somebody has fallen again. It's because when they climbed up on the altar of sacrifice, they climbed down. God wants you to get on the altar and stay there until he can kill your flesh. He can put to death the desires of your body. Now you say, well, I don't have a problem with my flesh. Then you have another problem. It's called lying. We all have a body. From the youngest to the eldest. What do you think they get the term dirty old man from? Not dirty young man, dirty old man. You think he's dead by now. He's not dead. He's very much alive. Your flesh can only be put to death by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to allow him to do it, though. He can't do it without your permission. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 14, sin is no longer your master. You must tell yourself no. Try it. You might like that. The temptations of this world, the allurements of this world are trying to capture us all to disobey God, to disobey his word. You have to tell yourself no. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to indulge in that. You have the power. When you were a sinner without Christ, you didn't have the power. You had the I can't help it. But once you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he does away with the I can't help it. You can deny the flesh. You can deny your carnal desires. You have the power. You have no excuse. Now, there's some baby Christians who, when they first get born again, they just take Jesus as their Savior. They don't take him as a Lord. They don't want a Lord. They walk up and ask the Lord, forgive me of my sins, and they walk away and they keep a whole lot of junk. And then they live like that for a while. And you know, when you're a baby, God overlooks some of the things you do. But after a while, you get old enough to know better and to do better. And God expects us to live a righteous and a holy life. You cannot be a Christian and habitually sin. People come to church and they're shacking. Do you know what that means? Living with someone. Oh, but we never sleep together. Liar. How are you going to say that? Is there something wrong with you? People are doing all kinds of things. They come to church and they think it's all right. It's not all right. You cannot habitually sin and expect to go to heaven. I don't care what they told you in theology. The Word of God is our only source of truth. Listen, that's how cults were born. Jehovah's Witness was born when the fella who started it did not like hell in the Bible. So he formed a Bible study group and he wrote his own Bible and took hell out. Hell does not exist in his Bible. The only problem is it still exists in God's Word. And it's written in heaven. You can't change the Bible in heaven. You can take all the pages out you want down here. You can cross out hell. But God's Word is in heaven. It stands. We can't pick and choose what part of the Bible we want to live and expect to get to heaven. You cannot live for God and sin consistently in your life. You will not be born again. You will not go to heaven. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, then you will live. There's hope. The hope is the Holy Spirit. He'll help you to get over the I can't help it. Now, there's some churches that never even mention holiness. Been to some of them. And as a result, all kinds of things are going on. However, God cannot live in an unholy place. His name is the Holy Spirit. How can we live an unholy life and expect the Spirit of God's presence to be with us? It's just not going to happen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
This is Pastor Steve. Thanks so much for listening to the program today. We are living in perilous times, but I want to let you know something. God has protecting angels watching over us. And I just feel like I need to say that. One of my favorite scripture verses is Psalm 91. Let me read for you a few verses. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. He goes on to say, I will keep you from trouble, and I will deliver you, and I will honor you, and with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. My friends, today, God is watching over us, so we have nothing to fear. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then it goes on to say, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. God has separated us to be holy. And if we don't live a holy life, we'll be destroyed, just like every other sinner. Now, Christians feel they have the right to live the way they please. You ever meet some? But the greatest hindrance to the presence of God is the lack of the fear of the Lord. People don't fear God as they used to. There was a time when a person would use profanity, they would say, "Oh, excuse me." When they would do something wrong that they knew wasn't right, they say, "Oh, God, forgive me." Not today. They include God's name in every foul profanity they can find. Many have stopped reverencing God and His authority over their lives. I'm talking about Christians. Only the fear of the Lord and our love for Him produces holiness. You cannot have holiness in your life if you don't fear the Lord and if you don't love Him. Now, Moses taught the children of Israel this truth. Now, this is interesting. Let's all turn to Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 through 18. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 through 18. God told Moses, "I want to meet with the children of Israel." They've been delivered now out of Egypt. They're walking through the desert, and God's about to make a covenant agreement with them. And He says, "I tell you what, I'm going to come down and meet them and talk to them personally." Now, what's interesting is when God first met Moses, He met him in the burning bush. Do you remember that? But now let's see how God meets with the children of Israel. And Pastor Steve, I'm going to ask you to read Exodus 19, verses 16 through 18 for us.
"And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount."
That's the bottom of the mountain. Keep going.
"And Mount Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly."
So there was an earthquake. There was fire on top of the mountain. There was a trumpet blowing louder and louder as God approached, coming down from heaven, touching the top of Mount Sinai with His presence. There was an earthquake. Everyone was shaking. Not only were they physically shaking, emotionally, they were shaking inside. They were afraid. And you would have been afraid also. Now, Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 to 20, it continues by saying, "All of the people saw the lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain and heard the thunder and the long frightening trumpet blast, and they stood at a distance shaking with fear. They said to Moses, 'You tell us what God says and we will obey.'" We don't want to talk to Him. "You tell us what He says. 'Do not let God speak directly to us, or He will kill us.'" They were so afraid of the presence of God, they did not even want to talk to Him. They were afraid that He would speak a word and a lightning bolt would come down and kill them. They said, "Moses, you tell us what God is saying. We'll do everything He says. It's all right. Let's all go home to our tent." Now listen to what Moses said in verse 20. Moses said, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in this way to show you His awesome power, so that from now on you will be afraid to sin against Him." The fear of the Lord when it's properly caught, prevents us from sin. The children of Israel were told, God showed up to scare the devil out of you so that you will obey him. Now, we must all possess the fear of the Lord in our lives for God to really associate with us. God will not allow us to disrespect him. The young people say, to diss me. You will not diss me. Let me say this. You will never diss God and get away with it. As believers, as Christians, we must humble ourselves before the Lord and recognize his right to lead our lives, to guide us, to direct us. When we come into the presence of God, we should humble ourselves. We should worship. We should be ready to hear and to obey. God will only dwell with the humble, the submissive, those who listen and obey his word. Isaiah 57 and 15, it says, "For thus says the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place and with him who has a contrite and humble spirit." Now, many churches in America do not experience the presence of God in their services. That's not a criticism, that's just true. I believe it's because they have lost the fear of the Lord. The church doesn't reverence God as they used to. Churches often don't begin with prayer, a time of prayer. When I was growing up, there was always music playing before the service, and you always took time and you prayed. You took time for the Lord. Today, we start our services in many churches, and it's a time of fellowship, like a waiting for a ball game, waiting for it to start. You know I'm telling the truth, especially if you go to larger churches. They're playing music and everybody's talking about everything but God. People would rather have fellowship than pray. Some people arrive at church later and later. Some want to miss the dull part, the prayer. People have reduced God to being a person who should be glad to accept their weekly hour and 15 minutes devotion once a week. But when we come into the house of the Lord, saints, we should be ready to pray and to worship.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. The title of the message for today is Becoming God's Habitation on Earth. This is part one. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Hello, this is Pastor Steve Hill, and I want to thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. It is my sincere prayer that you will experience God's love, forgiveness, and healing. You can receive this by repeating this prayer, so join me. Father, forgive me of my sins. I turn away from them. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Change me into a new creation. Thank you for saving me and changing my life. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, then you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And know this, that God loves you so much, and whatever you need, just call on Him, and He'll answer your prayer. God bless you, and keep on listening to A Place to Grow.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR. Every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons.